Welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Gwyneth Doland. Albuquerque Mayor Richard Berry recently said that when he took his first behind-the-scenes tour of the Rio Grande Zoo, he was shocked by the state of the zoo's infrastructure, saying there was a lot of deferred maintenance going on, and that's because of money. Now the city has released a draft master plan for the next 20 years of improvements at the zoo, which draws visitors from all over the state, and Albuquerque voters will decide in October if they're willing to pay more gross receipts tax to fund those improvements. What do you want to see changed or improved at the zoo? What new animals? Which enclosures need more work? What new attractions would you like? And are you willing to raise your own taxes to pay for it? Or should the city find other ways to pay for the zoo? Join the conversation today by calling 277-5866. My guests today here in the studio are from the New Mexico Biopark Society, a nonprofit that supports the zoo. Julie Miller-Rug is the executive director of the society. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you.
And Barry Bitzer is the director of development for the Biopark Society. Barry, you also spent some time working inside government, including as chief of staff to former Mayor Marty Chavez.
Indeed.
Thanks for being here, Barry.
Good to be here.
Julie, if the zoo, if this all works out the way you have it planned, and you get something like 15 or 20 more million dollars a year, how are you going to spend the magic money?
Oh, gosh, there's a gazillion things, actually. Well, the plan, like you said, the master plan is a 20-year plan, and our funding is more based on a 15-year plan. But when you ask what people want, they actually had gone out and done a very large survey to ask the public. Some of the top three that came out were bring in penguins, upgrade the cat area, and Barry, what was
elephants.
The third one?
The elephants need more space.
Expanding the elephant area. So those are all on the list, as is better transportation between the facilities. As you know, we have the trains and they're awesome, but they don't exactly carry the amounts of people we need to between the garden and the zoo itself. Mexican gray wolf conservation, an Aldo Leopold, which we can talk about in a little bit too, since he was one of the people that encouraged the whole zoo and the park system in the early 20s. Having a center that honors him and educates people. I mean, we can go on and on, but most of the things really did originally come from the public.
Barry, you guys were required to collect something like 15,000 signatures in order to get this on the ballot, and volunteers went out and did that. So now on the October 6th ballot, we expect to see a question saying, do you guys want to raise your own taxes for this thing? Why is this the way we're trying to do this money?
Well, we've looked at a lot of options, and the master plan is not an easy-to-fund project any other way. It takes a serious amount of money to get caught up. We are behind, years behind. There's an immediate need, $18 million deferred immediate maintenance need. Some of our exhibits, a dozen or more perhaps, just need to be rebuilt from scratch. Some of the underground infrastructure, it's not so sexy, but I think the sewer line was laid by Aldo Leopold himself, and we're still using
right.
it. So it needs a lot of work. The advantage of this, and this is not to say that you couldn't do more conventional bonding, but bonding is still supported by taxes. But the master plan is phased. It comes in over the course of the next 15, 20 years, and the tax would come in at a steady state to fund it. So you don't need to take a revenue source like a tax or an increment in this case and go out and buy bonds and fund it all up front. That's what bonds do, and then you pay interest on those. We're estimating that we'll save up to $60 million in interest, bond interest, over the life of this project by going direct pay as you go.
Julie, there was a free zoo day recently, which demonstrated the popularity of a lot of things, I think, right? you were swamped on zoo day, the free day.
It was crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, I, as a matter of fact, used to live right around the corner from the zoo, and I'm familiar with the parking problems on the popular days. So there was parking overflow, but you are also asking folks to chime in about, what they thought of the plan, what they wanted. What did you guys hear from people on the free zoo day about what they wanted?
Free zoo day was, like you said, we had 30,000 people, I think, between all the facilities, and really definitely brought to the forefront, especially for the neighbors like you who used to live there, how desperately we need better parking. That is absolutely the number one thing that comes up on a very busy day, whether you're attending the facility itself or whether you're one of the neighbors. So that was, of course, very much talked about. But again, you know, people really are enjoying the day. It's hard to get them to stop again and have a conversation, but we have through a series of surveys and meeting with people. Again, the same things they keep saying over and over is that, yes, they see that the facility is aging and needs help. People are very proud of their biopark, of their zoo, their garden, and their aquarium. How do we continue to maintain it and be able to maintain that sense of pride? And so that really was the overall statement was, we see that there are things that need to be done. We have some favorites, again, like elephants and catwalk and things like that. But in general, people really do want to see that this facility stays at the high level that we've come to expect.
You know, Barry, it costs $9 now for an adult to get in. I went over the weekend, went to the zoo with my family, and I hate to admit this right now on live radio, but it had been a long time, a long time since I went to the zoo. It was the 90s.
Wow.
It was
a long time. It's a different world, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I went to a concert, but that was late and I didn't do zoo stuff. I just went to the concert, mm-hmm. right? Now I'm outed myself as someone who doesn't go to the zoo very often. My family goes to the zoo quite often without me, right? It costs $9 now, and I admit I was surprised. I thought that was kind of a lot, and that's the in-state rate. Well, see, now I don't go to zoos a lot, so what do I know, right? But I felt like that was a lot of money. And then I found out that the zoo doesn't even get to keep the entrance fee money. Is that right?
The money goes into the city's general fund if you just pay at the gate. Now, you can support the zoo more directly by joining the Biopark Society. Then you get the pass for the whole year. We get a chunk of that. We share that with the city, but we get a chunk of that and we reinvest that in the community, in the facilities.
So why is the city horking all the money from the zoo?
Well, the city is subsidizing the zoo. Let's not pretend that $9 actually gets the exhibits and the staff and all that paid for. I don't want to throw the city under the bus.
But shouldn't there be some sort of direct correlation there? Like, this is the money you get from the gate and you get to spend it on elephant chow or whatever?
Well, I mean, it does cost $14 million a year to keep all three of the facilities operating. The gates bring in about, I think, $5 or $6 million annually, so they don't even cover it. As much as we as the fundraising organization for the facility would love to see that gate fee stay there, we do understand that the city does need to, you know, cover its costs at some level. And going back to your ticket, by the way, we are one of the least expensive facilities in the nation. Even El Paso costs more than our facility does.
And I'm warped because I grew up in Washington, D.C., where you don't pay for anything.
Free zoo.
Right.
Right.
Oh, you're paying for it. You're paying for it from here.
All right. So, Julie, one of the things that was important to us when we went to the zoo is the little playground near the splash area that is, for parents with small children, an awesome, awesome self-contained chamber for monkeys. I mean children. Right? You put the child in the thing, it isn't completely enclosed, you step away and you relax and you have some Dippin' Dots, right? But it's been closed for a long time and they keep saying the parts are on order. I think this is frustrating for a lot of people. What's going on with the playground?
Well, it is frustrating, and I'll say this. We fundraised to begin with to put that in, so imagine how we feel because we paid for the original equipment. Unfortunately, many times when you purchase equipment that is from out of state, it's very hard to keep up. We probably made a mistake. I don't think it's great, durable outside playground equipment, but it's really fun and the kids love it, so we haven't replaced it. And quite frankly, it's expensive. But I will say that that is on the plan for the future as well.
See, folks were telling me that part of the problem with that playground is big kids. And sometimes adults were getting in it and jumping around and breaking stuff. And there's no one to monitor if you're bigger than the sign at the gate. Is there really not enough money to pay someone to say, hey, kid, you're too big?
You know what? There's not enough money to pay enough staff to even adequate. They do a great job taking care of the animals. I do not want to say that. But we are grossly understaffed. There are 40 less employees now than we had 7 years ago. That's a huge number. And that's just due to city budget cuts. And
you're not automating this stuff? You're not outsourcing it to India?
Oh, boy. If you could only do that, you know. But, I mean, that's the thing. We everything we have really needs great care, whether it's a plant, a fish, or an elephant. And we just don't have those extra bodies we used to. And that's one of the things people talked about, that maybe the bathrooms aren't as clean all day long. They start out great. They might be clean throughout the day. We used to have staff to be able to go all day long, you know, every hour on the hour. Now those same people are doing, you know, 10 different jobs as well. So that's just one more thing. And I agree with you. It would be nice to be able to have that monitored. And hopefully as we move forward and we bring more in, that the city will support it at a little higher level. But just so you know, that there is a playground expansion and revamping in the plan as well. So,
as well as additional parking.
We'll talk about parking in a second. That. Listeners, we want to hear from you today. You know, I brought up the playground thing. What have you noticed that you would like to see besides parking and the playground and other stuff at the zoo? We do want to hear from you. So where do you want to see our zoo in 20 years? And how do you think we should pay for it? Call us now at 277-5866 here in Albuquerque. That's 277-5866. You can also call toll-free at 877-899-5866. You can email callinshow@kunm.org, post to our Facebook page, KUNM Radio, or tweet at KUNM News. We've actually got a couple of comments here from Twitter already. Barry, I'm going to put this one to you. How are other zoo construction projects funded in the U.S.? Is it bonds? Is it taxes? Have you done any research on this?
We have. We looked around the country for precedent, and yeah, it's typically bonds, but then also it is a short-term project. The expansion down at El Paso, you know, happened in a condensed fashion, and they'll pay for it over a long period of time with bonds. Our project is big enough that it isn't happening all at once. It's phased over 20 years. And so it makes sense to use the source of revenue that would fund the bonds and fund the construction directly.
Well, why not just do it faster? I mean, Julie said you need $18 million immediately. You're telling me if we gave you like $100 million right now, you couldn't spend it?
We'd have to shut the place down in order to do it all at once.
We would, right.
And so if you do it in phases, the facility continues to thrive. And another point on that subject is that it's not enough in our mind to maintain the excellence that we've achieved. If you're not continuing to improve and evolve and bring new things in, then you start to stagnate and attendance will start to drop, and then it becomes a vicious cycle. It's the old Bob Dylan line about if you're not busy being born, you're busy dying.
We have another question from Matt in Albuquerque. What is the funding breakdown between the botanical garden construction and the proposed zoo renovations, and are they related?
You know, honestly, I can't tell you exactly what the breakdown will be. We know the total is $250 million between all the facilities. Obviously, the botanic garden and the aquarium are 15 years old. They're much newer. We've been adding, and in fact, we'll be opening up a bugarium in October.
A bugarium,
a cool place to come see bugs. Just opened up a rose garden there. We've been able to do some expansion in those areas over the last few years with bonding, so there's not as much need. The aquarium needs expansion. We're getting new exhibitry there. We'll be opening up an otter exhibit in the next couple of years. So I would say that, no pun intended, the lion's share will be on the zoo side. However, there is very much that is also included in the botanic garden, the aquarium as well.
We are going to take a quick break right about now. We've been talking a little bit about penguins, a little bit about otters, a little bit about other improvements at the zoo, sewer lines, parking, pretty sexy stuff. Here on the KUNM Call-In Show, call us now with your questions and comments. Otherwise, we'll be right back.
Support comes from New Mexico Jazz Workshop, presenting Salsa Under the Stars. This Friday, July 24th, it's the Latin All-Stars Orchestra from Las Vegas, Nevada. Arrive at 6:30 for a salsa lesson. Tickets at the door or holdmyticket.com.
On the next Making Contact.
Debt is the most effective means ever invented to take a situation of arbitrary violent inequality and make it seem like it's the victim who's to blame.
On this edition of Making Contact, anthropologist David Graeber, author of Debt, The First 5,000 Years, traces that history and asks, what might we learn from how societies in the past dealt with debt?
Friday morning at 8 on 89.9.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Gwyneth Dolan, and we are talking about the new master plan for the Rio Grande Zoo and a proposal that would pay for improvements and new exhibits with a tax increase. We are in the studio today with Julie Miller-Rug, who is the executive director of the New Mexico Biopark Society, and Barry Bitzer, who is the director of development in charge of raising money for this thing. Welcome back, all of you. We have one call here on the line from Mimi, who thinks that the zoo is awesome and deserves money. Mimi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And the reason I'm calling is I'm really concerned about the proposed mechanism of financing the zoo's maintenance and improvements, and not just the zoo, the whole biopark complex. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource in this city. And it needs the money and deserves to get it. But we cannot keep taxing people in the city. That kind of raising the sales tax makes no discrimination between taxing people who can afford it and people who absolutely cannot. The city, the Water Authority just recently instituted an increase. The county just raised their sales tax. PNM has an increase being looked at, and one way or another, they're going to get an increase. There are people, many people in this city, who are living on narrow fixed incomes and just can't afford to keep being taxed and taxed and taxed.
Mimi, let me ask you this. Do you go to the zoo?
I do sometimes. Mm-hmm. I actually use the biopark, the botanical gardens more. But that's all part of the same complex.
Barry, what do you think about this complaint from Mimi?
Well, I can empathize. I am not a big fan of tax increases, and that's why we put a sunset clause on this one, so that it goes away at the end of the funding period. It's 1/8 of a cent on 1/8 of a percent, 1/8 of a cent on a 1 penny on an $8 meal that you buy out. If you buy groceries now, those aren't taxed this way anymore. If your pharmacy is no longer taxed this way as well.
I think Mimi was bringing up is that we keep adding these taxes on. And, you know, Bernalillo County just increased GRT for behavioral health and for general operations. And so, you know, the sales tax rate has already gone from 7 to 7.1875. And it's compounded, I think, is what Mimi is saying.
I was just looking at a recent visit to the Seattle facility, Woodland Park Zoo in Seattle. I took a picture of their gate entrance, and of course, and then they put in very large letters the tax that goes on there. It was 9.5% on top of that. So we're still we're low for the region. Now, remember that we did the hold harmless a few years ago when the last governor took the legislature took the tax off of groceries. And so the municipalities took a hit, but then they were given some more wiggle room to hold harmless, move up. Well, folks are reluctant to do that because no one wants to be a tax increaser. And so there's been this gap, if you will. The county stepped into that gap a bit with the mental health funding. This plan, like I said, has a limited duration to it. It's strictly capital. That money will be spent here in town on people from town. They will turn around and go out and spend money. And if you want to avoid the tax, you can. I mean, to the extent that you're not getting, service added food, if you're just buying groceries, it's not going to get taxed anymore. If you're buying your pharmacy, it's not getting taxed. So,
but everything else is. You know, there was a poll commissioned about this issue, and 73% of people who responded said they were very likely, to support this tax. That sounds like it's going to pass. But we have on the line Sarah from Albuquerque, who is opposed to these improvements. Sarah, what don't you like about this idea?
You're right. You're correct. I will vote against the zoo on the ballot. You know, I feel like the zoos are a form of animal abuse. It's jail for them. And, of course, that we do hear every once in a while killer whales and circus elephants and, of course, tigers have known to attack the trainers and kill them for making them do all these jumps and all these going, making them do all these things to entertain us. And they get so tortured and harassed that they wind up killing their trainers. And the polar bears have been known to suffer depression. And I even hear about animals that escape the zoos, that run out from a local zoo, and there are ostriches running around. But they can't.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Sarah. You know, we did see in the news, what, somewhere in Central Europe, I think recently, there were zoo animals that escaped because of a flood and were all over the place. We haven't had that problem in Albuquerque recently. But, you know, Julie, let me just put that to you. There are people who feel that it is unfair, unkind to keep penguins, for example, or polar bears, things that aren't native to this hot, dry place, here in a smallish enclosure when they would otherwise live in the wild. I mean,
well, so, Sarah, too, I'm also guessing you probably haven't been to an accredited zoo in several years. And the world of zoos are so different. I think people who have those perceptions haven't been to one in a long time. The enrichment, the incredible care, they're nothing like you remember. They're more habitat-oriented as opposed to the old days of bars and closed-in areas. They try to make them more naturalistic, which is also what we want to do. With this expansion. So it's a different world. As far as animal escaping, well, we've never had that here. Knock on wood, I can't even imagine that happening. If you have good exhibits, those kinds of things won't happen. Again, if you ever met any of our keepers, any of our people that worked here, you would know the amazing care and the passion that's behind it. And it's just really a different world than it used to be.
I want to go to Anne, who is on the line here from Rio Rancho. Anne, why do you think we should support the zoo?
Yeah, to me, I'm a huge supporter of the zoo, BioPart member. To me, in this world of expanding human population and disconnect from nature, zoos are like an ark for endangered species, like the Bible Ark. They are helping animals to live that are being crowded out in the wild. Plus, it's educational for people, teach them to care more about the animals. I'd rather pay taxes on that than, say, a sports complex. I also thought, how about a lottery ticket sale for the zoo? Could do that.
Don't make me have another show about taking lottery money from the scholarships.
Oh, okay. And then just on a lighter note, it would be neat to have a honey badger there.
Ooh, thank you for that call, and I'll put in my vote for honey badgers. I love those guys. Those are crazy. Tell me, Julie, what do you think are the most valuable animals in our ark, as Anne put it?
Well, and I do want to go back to what Anne was saying. It is about conservation and education first and foremost. As we as humans encroach more on the animals' places that they live, it does become more important for us to have places to be able to preserve these animals. And by the way, animals in captivity have a tendency to live anywhere from 5 to 15 years longer than they do in the wild. As far as anything that right now is endangered or is part of the species survival program, and we have a lot of those, the snow leopards, our Asian elephants, even now reticulated giraffes, rhinos, which are just killed at scary numbers just for their horns. Again, elephants for their tusks as well. Even locally, the wolves that we have. So many, many of our animals really are part of the species survival program, and that is part of what is funded through facilities like zoos around the nation.
If kids don't know that we've got a palm oil connection to orangutans, you're never going to save the orangutan unless people understand that where your palm oil comes from matters. And that's the type of thing that we're educating folks on during the course of their visits.
I want to take this call from David in Albuquerque, who is talking about how many kids in New Mexico are in poverty. David, what is the connection between poverty and this zoo master plan?
Well, the connecting, first of all, you're talking about money, and the entrance fee you mentioned for adults was $9. I don't know what it was, what it is for children, even if it may be free for all I know, but you did mention $9, and let me tell you that I bought an annual pass every year back when I was working, but the connection is that I think the number is 35% or basically a third of your children in New Mexico live in poverty, and that's not because the children are underpaid. Obviously, that's because their parents are underpaid. And so, for instance, in my situation, living on, as your previous caller, a fixed income due to no fault of my own, I was injured by other people, and I now live on $733 a month, which is scheduled at the end of next year to go down because of government bankruptcy. That's going down below $600 a month. So if you want to imagine your personal budget at $733 a month compared to what it is now, and then you're going to get a pay cut, and you're going to be now living on less than $600.
So, David, let me put it to you like this. This tax increase that we're talking about, 1/8 of 1%, would be about 13 cents on a $100 purchase.
Right. So it's 13 cents on a $100 purchase, and that the 1/3 of New Mexico children that live with 1/3 of New Mexico parents that live on, divide 30 days in a month by $600 a month, they live on how many dollars a day? $20 a day. And they have to pay $9 for the adult to take the children to the zoo, and on top of paying their housing and their additional food and their shelter and whatever else they spend money on. Like I said, look at your personal finances. What do you need each day to get through your day? And if you lived on $20 a day to pay for your housing and everything else, your car payment, whatever, then find the $9 for the adults to take the children to the zoo. Do you think you can do it?
Thank you, David. Thank you for that. You know, and David brings up a point that I mentioned earlier that I did notice when I went to the zoo recently. It costs about $25, more than $25, to take two grown-ups and two kids to the zoo. And that's based on an increase that we saw, I think, back in 2012, when the mayor said we needed to raise gate prices in order to pay for stuff at the zoo. So what's going to happen with the admission prices, Barry? Are they going to go up?
The discussion is ongoing. I don't think you're going to see a single solution. Perhaps there will be a combination at some point of an increased gate and more frequent either free days, maybe not free days, but the dollar day, for example, when you a very modest amount. This last weekend was half price weekend.
It was.
I just noticed it myself. I didn't hear about it in advance.
No, I'm
kidding.
I
noticed it in the paper.
We are members. I'll say that. We are members, so we did not pay full price or half prices.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a combination, I think, of things so that folks who are on a limited income, fixed income, can get in, can get their family in. We don't want to price anybody out of the visit. Now, that bump that you saw 2 years, 3 years ago did not decrease the gate. So it hasn't affected a large. Certainly hasn't affected a...
You're saying that when we increased the admission price to $9, it didn't mean that fewer people came because it cost more.
Statistically, we couldn't see it. If it was there, we didn't. Maybe we had a really good year, so we couldn't see it. But yeah, it didn't affect the attendance pattern.
We have a caller, Dee Dee, here in Albuquerque, who wants to know where the animals at the zoo come from. Dee Dee, is there a particular animal you're interested in? Dee Dee, do we have you on the air? I think we don't have Dee Dee at this very moment, but let me put that question to you, Julie.
Yeah, I can answer what Dee Dee's question. So our animals basically are born in captivity. They're either from other facilities or from our own, and they're born from in captivity parents usually as well. So there is an entire system, the American Zoo and Aquarium Association. It's an accreditation facility. In order to get animals or trade animals with another facility, you need to be part of that organization. It's highly regulated. That's really where they come from. Animals are really not taken from the wild any longer unless there's an issue where, example, poaching. So they may be moved to an area because of that. But that's
really...
We just
had a baby giraffe, didn't we?
We did. We had a little boy just a few days ago.
There's another baby. We can't break the news yet, but there's
Shut
another
up,
baby
Barry.
To talk about, too.
It's, you're holding out on us.
Taunting you with a stay tuned for yet another baby announcement.
I think we did get Dee Dee on the air. Do we have you, Dee Dee?
Hello.
So did we answer your, did Julie answer your question by saying that most of these animals are born in captivity or in other zoos?
Yes, more or less she did. My understanding is that the Biopark Society has incredible conservation connections throughout the world. And I know you addressed that a little bit earlier from a question related to animal welfare. But it seems to me that some of the animals are also rescued. You had mentioned animals who have been poached that are sent to a safer place. It seems that the biopark might be offering a safer place for some animals that may or may not have had a better life out in the wild or in illegal captivity.
So interestingly enough, especially at the aquarium, which we get people asking us all the time, like, why does that sea turtle have one fin or is missing an eye? What's the matter with our shark in the tank? Most of those, well, all of them that are like that are rescues. That's how you get them. We wouldn't have them in there probably otherwise, especially the sea turtles. But they would not have survived. And so that's the case in many situations. The animal world, not as much anymore, although every once in a while we get small exotics that might come from a hoarder home or from, people always think preserves are the wonderful, fantastic places, but in many cases they're also not regulated. So oftentimes we have to go in and kind of save them from there. One of our elephants was an old circus elephant that was confiscated from a non-regulated circus. So we have done that over the years, and we will continue to do that.
We also have the big cats. In the big cats, the two of our cougars were rescues from the wild because they were too young to survive, and their mother had been shot by a rancher.
Thank you, Dee Dee, for that question. That was really interesting. We want to go now to Travis, who has a question about state money. And I, Travis, let me tell you this. I was thinking, we know that the zoo gets a lot of visitors from all over the state, but we're now asking Albuquerque voters to pay to keep it up. What do you want to know about how the state can contribute?
Well, I'm curious. I mean, exactly what you said. You know, you go there, especially in the spring, and, you know, the parking lot is full of buses from all over the place. And, it's a great resource for the whole state because, you know, it's really the only game in town. Are you soliciting? I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, the state of New Mexico itself or private organizations that, you know, might assist, you know, in funding the zoo and the biopark.
Barry, let me put this back to you. Should the state be kicking in for some of this?
Well, the state does kick in on a modest basis each legislative session. They've been helping out with some capital through the capital outlay process. James Lewis, the former state treasurer, and I have been having this conversation about how to cast a wider net. I think he's a great resource and a real visionary in that regard.
But the answer is basically not very much money comes from the state.
But when you come to visit from out of town, you don't just pull in, hit the gate. You're probably going to hit drive-through, fast food, or check in overnight. That extends the stay. Then you're paying the gross receipts tax. Then you are sort of contributing if you're coming. And we get $34 million a year if you estimate the folks coming from out of town, out of state, extend their stay by one night. Because 20%, 18 to 20% of our visitors are from out of state. And so they show up, they extend their stay because it's a fabulous facility. You can't see it all in one day or can't do it right and still travel on that day. And so it's a real economic engine, I think, bringing revenue, bringing jobs here from all over the state and all over the country, really all over the world. On some days you're walking around and you don't hear, you know, you don't hear a Spanish accent, you don't hear a typical American accent, you're hearing German, you're in French, you're hearing, you know, Asian accents.
Yeah, I noticed that the other day.
It's terrific.
We're going to take a quick break here. We've been talking about how much the state pays for the zoo, how much Albuquerque voters are being asked to pay for the zoo, and the role that the zoo plays in conservation, in protection of local species, in rescue efforts, and in breeding, as well as in just showing us cute baby giraffes. So call in now. We're going to take more calls after the break. The number is 277-5866 here in Albuquerque. That's 277-5866 or call toll-free 877-899-5866. Email callinshow@kunm.org, post to our Facebook page, KUNM Radio, or tweet at KUNM News, and we'll be right back.
Maybe just once in your entire life you have a car or a truck or tractor or RV that you want to get rid of. Maybe it has body damage. Maybe it doesn't run anymore. Maybe it's not worth fixing up and not worth much as a trade, or the driver can't drive it anymore. Anywhere in New Mexico, or even if it's parked in another state, we can pick it up wherever it is. You'll get a KUNM membership and a tax deduction. Just call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.
There's no way that could have been consensual. I've never seen anybody have a romantic interlude by a maggot-smelling dumpster.
Rape on the Night Shift, our 18-month investigation, uncovered the dangers facing women janitors who clean our offices, churches, and school buildings.
She was in tears. She had that help me look on her face.
That's on the next Reveal.
Sunday morning at 11 on 89.9. KUNM.
And we are back here in the studio with Julie Miller-Rug, the executive director of the New Mexico Biopark Society, and Barry Bitzer, the development director. The Biopark Society, again, is a nonprofit organization that helps raise money for the zoo and support it in other ways. We want to go straight to a caller who's talking about the cost to get into the zoo. Virginia, here in Albuquerque, have you been to other zoos that charge more?
I've been to many other zoos. Just came back from San Diego. San Diego is $48 now a day. Phoenix is $20. And San Francisco runs about $18. And both Phoenix and San Francisco are about the same size. So that just gives you an idea of we're really one of the lowest admissions in the country.
But Virginia, we're also the poorest or second poorest state in the country, so people in San Francisco can spend all the Google money they want on going to the zoo.
Absolutely. You are absolutely right about that, but that's also just to give a sense. And I have to have full disclosure. I'm a volunteer at the biopark, so I go to a lot of zoos, and we are one of the lowest. But the other thing I really wanted to talk about is a program. It's in reference to the gentleman that called about the one-third poverty of the children. The biopark has a program that a lot of people aren't even aware of. We go out to all the schools in Albuquerque and throughout the state and bring animals and talk about conservation, tie back to the standards of the schools, and we do it all for free. So I think that's one of the things that the biopark and the society really helps in that. So there's a lot of things I think that a lot of people are unaware of that the zoo is already doing.
Virginia, thank you for calling in, and thank you for helping us as a volunteer. You know, I want to, Barry, go back to you about this money thing one more time, because the Albuquerque Journal was a little critical of this plan in an editorial recently saying, you know, it doesn't sound like it costs very much to pay a little bit more in order to get all these awesome things. I think a lot of people agree that the improvements that you're proposing are great and everybody likes the zoo. But the question is, you know, how much can we continue adding on to sales tax before people really do feel it, as we had a couple callers tell us. The Journal said that city councilors should move back some mill money from operations to capital. They should get some lodgers tax money. That's the what we charge people who are staying in hotels. We charge them a fee. And dedicate the biopark revenues directly to the park and increase revenue fees to be more in line with the attractions. And they said, you know, effectively to make people respect it more, that if you make them pay more, they'll respect it more. What do you think of that argument?
Yeah, they argued rather strenuously for raising the gate fee, and that you know, people take it for granted, especially on those free days. It was, you know, it was a lot of wear and tear. I watched kids, you know, running in and out of the, you know, the front, playing at the front gate, sort of revolving door kind of thing. And it was like a game of tag. And it's like, you know, hey, come on, there's, you know, elderly people around here. There's toddlers. Let's mellow out and enjoy the facility. But yeah, I read that editorial, and the headline that, you know, which way to go, how to do this. Now, we have tried to raise the gate more seriously, but we ran into opposition from city council. They intervened and overrode us. So and then you could go back and re-raise that gate, and it still wouldn't be enough to fund the kind of bond package that we're talking about to do the renovations. I don't think people appreciate just how far down the pike we are in terms of decaying infrastructure and so pervasively.
The journal also brought up the idea that, you know, gross receipts taxes, it seems, you know, you put zoo on the ballot and people are like, oh, I love the zoo, and they're just going to vote yes. And I think the poll that you guys commissioned showed that people probably will do this. But the journal said, do voters want to continue on a California-like petition drive to insolvency, allowing a fraction of residents in historically low turnout municipal elections to continue to eat away at their spending power? There is a point here about the folks who are probably going to be impacted most by paying a little more in gross receipts tax are probably not the same people who are going to end up going out to vote on it, because it's city council and a couple other bond things on the ballot on October 6th, and the turnout is terrible.
Well, the turnout is better than it would have been if we had done the petition any other time of year, because if we turned in 14,219 valid signatures any other time than when we did, it would have been a special election. It wouldn't even have had the city council and the bond questions on it. So we intentionally timed the submission of the petitions to coincide with an election, with a municipal election. But again, yeah, I mean, historically low turnout has been the trend. School board elections, city council races, mayor's races, I'm going to argue that. Voters need to be more engaged. They need to pay more attention. You could do an unpoll tax. Well, you know, we'll pay you all $5 a piece to come out and vote. I don't know, something.
Julie, you know, it's not a sure thing. A lot of stuff could change. What if voters say no, they don't want to pay for it this way?
You know, believe me, we've really thought about that. If they say no, we're really going to just continue on this trend that we are, which is to continue to crumble unless we can come up with some other way to fund the place. But at the level we're talking about, and in a way that won't affect people's attendance, like Barry was saying, we don't want to shut the place down for 2 years. We're going to start having problems. I mean, you know, we're talking about water, sewer, electrical. Again, the zoo was built in 1927. That's when it started. And what? He probably wasn't kidding about Aldo Leopold.
Laying the sewer line himself.
Callers, we do want to hear from you. We have time for a last few calls. If you don't go to the zoo, what do you think about this plan? Do you agree with paying for it? If you do go, what are the things that you see that you really want to make sure are addressed? You know, we mentioned earlier about the zoo train. Now, there's a 3.5-year-old in my house who cares more about trains than any living creature you have in the zoo. Mm-hmm. And every animal that we see from the train is auxiliary to the actual train experience itself at this stage. And there were some other little boys on the train who felt similarly, I think. But there's, you know, one of the things you're talking about is getting rid of the train.
Well, so the zoo train will not go away. And we probably will add a train over to the Botanic Garden as well. What they were talking about getting rid of was the train that connects the Botanic Garden and the aquarium to the zoo. That's the Tingley train. We originally built that. Its intention was to be able to shuttle people back and forth who are buying combo passes. We cannot keep up with the capacity of people buying passes. We have to stop selling at noon, which makes the people bummed out that come after noon to see the whole place.
Because it's cheaper if you buy it that way, isn't it?
It is cheaper. I think it's $12 instead of $9 for a single place, so $12 for all three facilities. But the problem is we just can't get enough people on those trains to get people back and forth. And it's about an hour round-trip ride.
Can't you just add more cars? They're not that big.
Well, you can't because, the engine won't pull it. There's a little hill. There's, you know, all kinds of issues. So we really can't. We would have to add more track, which could be incredibly expensive. Or we come up with alternative ways to get people back and forth.
We have a call from Pablo in Albuquerque who has two small kids. Pablo, do your kids ride that train?
My kids ride the train. They love every part of the zoo, and it's it's such an important part of our community, and I would really see any kind of tax increase as an investment in our future as a city.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like you don't mind paying this tax, but is it a hardship for you?
Not at all.
Okay. Are you a member of the zoo?
I am.
All right. So you're not actually paying every time you go in, although you do pay extra to ride the train. Is that right?
I think that's correct. And, you know, we recently vacationed in Hawaii, and the zoo there for out-of-staters was, I think, $30 a person. So even if I did pay regularly and I wasn't a member, I still think it's a bargain.
Because you get discounts when you go to other zoos and you're a member of ours, isn't that right?
You do. And by the way, our membership goes all back to the facility. So we love it when people are members because, again, it's not going to the front gate that goes back into the city fund. It's actually money that stays at the facility. But you do get half price at 150 facilities around the nation.
That's great. Pablo, is there anything, you know, you say you love the zoo, your kids go, is there anything that you have noticed that really needs some work?
I feel like I just notice really basic kind of infrastructure stuff that it feels like the entire place needs a new paint job. The facilities are noticeably kind of crumbling apart. It's hard to pick any one thing, but it feels like a very old facility, and I'm in my 40s, and it feels like not a lot has really been updated since then.
Thank you for calling, Pablo. I mentioned earlier that I hadn't been to the zoo in a long time before I went this past weekend, and I actually noticed that a lot had changed. And maybe if you don't go, but every 20 years you do notice these things. I apologize. But I noticed a lot of new stuff, and I was impressed by it. I will say that taking the little train ride around the zoo itself is not that exciting because you get to see a lot of like the backs of things, but there's not, I mean, is part of the master plan to make the little train ride around the zoo itself a little more exciting?
Yeah, absolutely. I always call that the good, the bad, and the ugly train ride, but it is.
Yeah, it's a lot of like trash cans and, you know, service stuff and back doors where it says like some really exciting animal name that you don't get to see because you're looking at a steel door.
And it is funny how many people actually really like to see that because they say, oh, I didn't really know the workings of a facility. I mean, it is a business. There's a whole bunch of things going on behind scenes. So in some ways, it's kind of interesting to see that. But you're right, you go by the trash. It's not lovely in all areas, but it is an educational ride as well. But yes, we do want to make that be a more fun, more engaging ride as well.
We have a Facebook comment from Joseph who says that the zoo is an important part of the city culture, and he does support the tax funding, but he thinks the elephant exhibit needs to go because it's inhumane to keep elephants caged. What is in the master plan for the elephants?
So it's even a much larger expansion. And by the way, our elephant yard is 6 acres, 6 or 7 acres.
All right.
They rotate throughout the day. And I'll tell you one thing. Our elephants, and I can say this with no hesitation, get the most amazing care. They have activities going on all day long. They've got all kinds of things to keep themselves mentally stimulated. People who are really against elephants in zoos don't really know the processes or you know, what happens and what's going on.
We have a pioneering program that other zoo keepers from other parts of the country come to learn about. We break them up during the course of the day because in the wild you would not all be able to graze in the same few acres. There's not enough food, not enough browse. And so we spread them out. They communicate subsonically with this low frequency type of thing. We do so much to simulate natural herd behavior that we're a model actually in the nation. And so we're a teaching institution in that regard. But I share the concern because elephants are very, very smart creatures, very complex social structure, and we've been able to start to mimic that. Otherwise, you've got an animal that's sort of out of its element.
So, but we do want to add an additional elephant arena, like a birthing yard area, several more acres of expansion. And again, we have a pretty darn good size. What you see when you go is a small exhibit, but again, there's, you know, 6 acres behind that they're rotating throughout the day. And we'll be doubling that at least in that area as well.
And the view from the train's not so great.
The backside.
It's not. So what happens next in this process?
Well, the city council has 2 weeks now to consider three options. One, they could do nothing and let it go straight to the voters. Two, they could decide to pass it. Hey, we think it's a great idea. The voters clearly like it. They signed it. They could pass it. Or three, they could introduce a competing
different idea.
Initiative, right? Or a tangential idea, something else that they think would get more votes. And whichever of those two would get more votes, according to the city charter, that's the one that would pass. Even if they both got a majority, the one that got the more of the two. But, some folks have said, oh, well, you know, this is all for the facility. We should do sort of an amalgam, sort of a team up with other needs and so forth. And we did that 9 years ago, and it didn't pass. Now, our polling indicated that we're better off going solo than we are grouping with other needs. So that's the way we decided to go.
Do you guys have any feedback from the city council? I mean, you know, it's probably hard to get them to say, you know, forget it, Zoo, you're on your own. Let's put it to the voters. Or do they say publicly that they are in support? Or,
you know,
I couldn't get them to do it.
No one ever wants to say they want to be the guy that brings a new tax forward. Every one of them has said, though, that the facility is important, that it is about quality of life for our citizens, and it is about economic development. They all get that. They all know there's a need. So none of them are denying that. But at this point, we're like you. We can't get anyone to come out and cheerlead yet to say yes.
You know, I think people would say you've done this a very smart way in that all the politicians get a little pass. You know, the mayor doesn't say he's in support of this tax increase. He says, well, let the voters decide, knowing that the voters will probably say yes. And it's the same for city council. Like, oh, we don't need to decide this and then take the hit later for voting yes for a tax increase or no on it. Let the voters do it, knowing they probably will.
Well, in our world, honestly, we're okay with that. There's nothing worse, because we really did drive this. This is not politically driven. This is driven by a support organization, a volunteer support organization at that. So if they aren't going to fight us and come out against us, we're okay with that. And so, you know, we're not going to argue on that.
And so if the voters do say yes in October, or if, let's just say that's what's going to happen. If the voters approve this in October, what's the first thing we will see at the zoo that changes?
So seals and sea lions is definitely falling apart and has a lot of infrastructure problems. So that'll be one of the first things you see, as well as the catwalk area. And by the way, the facility itself is kind of going to change into sort of rivers of the world. So things will be by regions. So catwalk may not have all cats all together. They may be wherever their country is. So they'll be in those areas. But that the cats will expand by 10 times their size as far as what they will have, you know, as far as exhibitry. So those will be the first things. The entry plaza needs a little sprucing up. We need better ticketing. So some of it's just basic business. But the fun stuff will be penguins, too.
All right. Well, thank you, Julie, and thank you, Barry, for coming in and talking to us about the master plan for the zoo and the gross receipts tax increase that could pay for it. We want to thank all of you callers today. If you have more questions about this, we've posted links to the information we discussed today. So go to KUNM.org. And even if we don't have it right now, we will have posted the master plan, the survey, and some other documents that you can look at. If you missed any of our program or you'd like to share it with friends, the audio of this show will be posted on our website, where you can also find audio from previous KUNM call-in shows. If you had thoughts today that you didn't get to share, you can email your comments to callinshow.kunm.org. You can find us on Facebook. Just look for KUNM Radio and keep the conversation going there. And on Twitter at KUNM News. I want to say thanks to Jefferson White, our engineer today. Kaveh Movahed screened your calls. And Ed White is our producer. I am your host, Gwyneth Doland. Thank you for being with us.